You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, a good Wednesday morning, everybody, and welcome to Locked On Vols, your team every day. It is Florida week. We are continuing to break down the Florida Gators, what Tennessee can take from the Tennessee Tech game moving forward, and how Tennessee can make things interesting down there in Gainesville for what could be the first win since 2003. Of course, Tennessee, an overwhelming dog in this football game. We'll talk more about that as the week goes on. But today, on today's show here on Locked On Vols, we are going to catch up with Josh Ward of Sports 180 and The Sports Animal in segment one. We'll talk about Florida, about Tennessee Tech, all that and more with the Tennessee football team with Josh here in just a few moments. In segments two and three, pro football focus grades. You guys want them some more. We're going to continue to bring them out here. Who shined on Tennessee's offense? Who shined on Tennessee's defense? How can we take that moving forward into Gainesville? That's coming up in segments two with offense and three on defense. All that and more here today on a Wednesday Locked On Vols. Guys, welcome into it. I'm Eric Kane, your host of Locked On Vols. You can find me in this podcast at underscore Kaner, at Locked On Vols, and at Kaner On Air. That's the Facebook page. I'm a radio personality in Knoxville, Tennessee at The Sports Animal. That's the flagship station for the University of Tennessee. And you can find my written work at VolQuest.com. That's the Tennessee site covering, or the rival site covering, the University of Tennessee. Before we get into our conversation with Josh Ward, let me remind you that Josh Ward, a former great host here of Locked On Vols, Chris Gordy, a great current host of Locked On SEC. How'd you like that transition? I don't know. I'm kind of iffy on it. But nonetheless, Locked On SEC, where you can get information on the SEC 5 days a week. That's with Chris Gordy of Sports 790. Locked On SEC, that's the podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Without further ado, let's check in with Josh Ward. Here is our conversation with Josh underscore Ward. Josh, obviously a big game coming up here this weekend. Tennessee heads down to the Swamp against Florida to open up SEC play. Florida nearly shocked the college football world over the weekend, a two-point conversion away from tying it late in the final minutes against number one Alabama. Obviously a good run game, dual threat quarterbacks. What do you see in the Florida Gators and what the challenge will be for this Tennessee Volunteers football team?
Yeah, I see a good team that Tennessee's about to play, and Tennessee's about to play on the road, and it's not going to be an easy environment to play in, and everything that Tennessee fans already know about the Gators. But I also look at Tennessee, and I see a team that wants to run the football. I see Florida that wants to run the football. To this point, I have more confidence in what the Gators have been able to do. It's not all about line of scrimmage play, but it often starts there, and I think it starts there this week. What happens with Tennessee's offensive and defensive line play is going to be really important in terms of Vols having a chance, and then you look to the extracurriculars to see if you can pull off what would be a massive upset on the road.
Josh, you see it like I see it, and of course this is so much easier said than done because, again, Florida's a top five rushing team in the country through three games and, you know, had their way with Alabama as well on the ground. But if you try to shut down the run game as much as you can and force Florida into third and mid, third and long, force the ball into Emory Jones's hand, that's got to be the recipe for success, right? Again, easier said than done, but you want Emory Jones throwing the football, correct?
Absolutely. He's made mistakes throwing the football this season. He has five interceptions on the year, and we know that Florida wants to run the football, as I just mentioned. And here's a test. We've seen Tennessee so far be really good in stopping the run. I think that's been one of the biggest positives for Tennessee. Can it happen again this week? And if Tennessee can put Florida in third and less manageable situations, then you have a chance to force a mistake, which is what Tennessee needs to do against Florida. We'll see how Anthony Richardson might factor into this conversation as well, because he's an explosive player. But the conversation obviously starts with Emory Jones at quarterback, and it could be him all the way throughout. So as much as Tennessee is able to force him to throw the ball, that gives the Vols a better chance to have success on defense. If Florida is able to run the way that it wants to, then I don't think Tennessee has a chance to win the game.
He brought up AR-15 right there, Anthony Richardson, and he did not play against Alabama, nursing some injuries there, but could have played if needed. Reports out of Gainesville state that he could be about 100% now for this ball game. I'm expecting him to play. You know, is he the guy for Florida down the road? Maybe not completely this year, of course, after Emory Jones is done, but I mean, he's the more talented quarterback on the roster, right?
I think so, yeah. I think his upside is greater. That's a word we often use at the quarterback position. We have so far this season in Knoxville. But, yeah, he's he's still a young player. He's in his second year at Florida and was a highly touted player. His size, his mobility, I think he could be a successful passer in that offense too. And also, I'm betting on Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen's just a really good offensive and quarterbacks coach. So you take Anthony Richardson's talent and Dan Mullen's coaching ability, I'm going to expect success. But Dan Mullen's also going to go with the guy that he trusts and the guy that he believes can go out there and win. I don't know that that means he's always right, because he went with Felipe Franks over Kyle Trask, and I think Kyle Trask was the better quarterback for them, but he was also able to win with Felipe Franks, and I think Dan Mullen can win with Emory Jones and or Anthony Richardson.
You flip the script and look at Florida on defense, a team that, you know, wasn't great defensively, especially to end the season, a three-game losing streak, giving up 37, 52, and 55, respectively, in the last three games. But brings back a lot in the front seven, a front seven that led the SEC in sacks last year with 33. You bring back your edge players in Brenton Cox Jr. and, of course, Zachary Carter. You were set to bring back three starting linebackers. Ventrell Miller goes down in the Southern Florida game. In the secondary, you bring back one starter after a cornerback went out in preseason camp. This defense, not great last year, but a pretty solid unit with a lot of experience.
Yeah, and Florida did a really good job trying to slow down the run for Alabama this past weekend. Tennessee has had a much more challenging time running the ball since the Bowling Green game, and that concerns me going in. Tennessee's quarterback position is the biggest question of the week. If Hendon Hooker's out there at quarterback, he has made some mistakes. Could he again against a much more athletic defense this week than what he's faced so far? And then, you know, if Joe Milton's out there, he hasn't even been able to play in the last week and a half or so since the first half of the Pitt game. So there are obvious questions there for Tennessee, but to me it comes back to the offensive line to kind of, I don't know if you start the conversation there because of the importance at quarterback, but Tennessee has not been able to do what it wanted to, even at times against Tennessee Tech with its offensive line, with the running game. And if Tennessee can't against Florida and you're putting all the pressure on quarterback position to make plays, well, that might end up being too much pressure. So can Tennessee be better up front? Can Tennessee's coaching staff come up with something to help the offense move the ball if the offensive line is struggling? That, to me, is one of the biggest questions this week.
Yeah, you started that transition for me as we speak with Josh Ward, Sports 180, the Sports Animal, former host of Locked On Vols. Again, I hate to make this about the quarterbacks every single week, but, I mean, here we are. This is the University of Tennessee, after all, right? If Joe Milton is healthy and is a go, how are you handling, if you're Josh Heupel, how are you handling the quarterback position this week? I don't care about next week. I just mean this week in the Swamp.
Yeah. Yeah. I've said, hey, don't give up on Joe Milton. I'm very confident Tennessee's coaching staff has not given up on Joe Milton. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's really good to go physically, if the staff said, hey, let's get Joe Milton out there on the field because of his talent and his playmaking ability. I think it's there. I know he's missed some throws down the field, but I also know that he's hit some throws in practice that the staff has seen. And, you know, sometimes guys just miss. Aaron Rodgers on Monday Night Football, not to say Joe Milton is Aaron Rodgers, of course he's not, but he's missing Valdez-Scantling down the field multiple times. I mean, it does happen. I would, if you're going with Joe Milton, I would figure out ways to help him be successful if you believe he's your guy. But your question as well, what would I do? I would have more trust in Hendon Hooker because of his experience on the road. He's been your guy here the last week and a half or so. And I would be a little worried about going with a guy who might be rusty and who hasn't had much success yet this season to have to go back out there for the first time against Florida on the road. I also wouldn't be surprised if we're talking about multiple quarterbacks playing in this game for multiple reasons, perhaps. But they've got to get it figured out. And Eric, you're right to keep bringing it up because it's the biggest question the fans have, and it's still undecided, I think, with the coaches of where exactly are they right now, where they headed the rest of the season. They need to get the quarterback position figured out, and I don't have an obvious answer. I think a lot of people think, hey, you just do this. I think there's some good and some bad with both Hendon Hooker and Joe Milton, and I don't think there's a perfect answer with either.
Yeah, it's kind of how I see it. You know, Tuesday morning on the starting lineup, Tyler Ivins was taken aback when I said that, you know, for this week, I would go with Hendon Hooker simply because of reasons you pointed out. You know, not to mean Joe Milton wouldn't play, not to mean that Joe Milton wouldn't be your guy moving forward, because I think it's clear Tennessee's coaching staff's not giving up on Joe Milton, and they see a lot of promise in him, but it's SEC play. You don't have any time to wait around right now, especially in a hostile environment. So that's kind of how I see the quarterback position. I have no clue right now as we record this podcast on a Tuesday morning, or this segment on Tuesday morning. Hopefully as the week goes on, I'll get a better understanding of what's going to go on there. But Josh, last thing, man, Florida won 15 of the last 16. Tennessee hasn't won down in the swamp in 03. What are you looking for in the Volunteers in this football game, and kind of how do you see it? I know most books open this things up at about 22 points. It's down to about 20 right now. Does Tennessee, are they competitive? Do they cover? What has to go right for the Volunteers to not only be competitive in the fourth quarter of this football game, but maybe make things interesting there in the last couple of minutes?
Yeah, I think for Tennessee to have a shot in this game, I'm going to offer up some keys that most everybody will this week or already has. I think the turnover battle is very obvious. If Tennessee loses the turnover battle, Tennessee will not win the game. So you've got to win there, and you probably need a noticeable advantage. You probably need to be 2+ in the turnover battle up on Florida. Tennessee needs to hit some big explosive plays on offense. UCF was really good at that with Josh Heupel. Tennessee has not been very good at that, and I know the overthrown passes by Joe Milton would be brought up here. But I would also say, hey, if Tennessee's looking to get Joe Milton on the field, that's still a potential reason why, because there's better chance, I think, that you get the explosive plays down the field, and those can be difference makers when you're going up against a team that has better talent. So keep that in mind, but big plays, not giving them up on the other side, obviously. So yeah, it's kind of the turnover battle and the big play battle. Those are two things that Tennessee, I think, needs to win. And then special teams, that has been a positive for Tennessee. If the Vols are really good there, maybe that can make up part of the difference, because you're going on the road against Florida in a night game. And maybe you're hoping that Florida is kind of dragging its feet a little bit this week, thinking, now we had it against Alabama, we'll just take care of business against Tennessee. You don't really want Florida dialed in, because if Florida is dialed in and is thinking, hey, we almost got Alabama, let's show everybody how good we are and let's take it out on Tennessee, that could be a potential problem for the Vols.
Josh, what's coming up the rest of the week on Sports 180?
Yeah, a lot of Tennessee-Florida talk. SEC play is here, too. So, you know, this week is a big week. But these next couple weeks, you're on the road for the first time this week and next week against Missouri, will, I think, give us a really good idea of where this season might be headed, or at least where the next month is headed. So, football on Sports 180.
Of course, a big thanks to Josh Ward, as always, for stopping by the show. Josh Ward, a big fan of betonline.ag as well. Back and better than ever. All eyes are pointed towards the gridiron. Teams are back for another start to the college and pro football seasons. As always, BetOnline, your number one spot for all your pro and college football action this year. And with a new updated site with an interface, even more odds, even more prompts, and even more contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be number one in the source for everything football. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device. Sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use the promo code NFL100. From football to basketball, boxing, to right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing and offers that are available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. BetOnline, it's your online sportsbook experts. And another thing that's super exciting, like hitting a big wager on betonline.ag, is owning your forever home. And the experts at Renaissance Mortgage are here for you. They have a wide variety of mortgage options to meet your home financing needs, whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to finance your forever home. Heath Albritton, he's going to guide you through that process to find the right option for you. He's been in the mortgage industry for over 26 years and has successfully helped over 10,000 families with their home financing. Okay, we are large enough to offer a wide variety of products, but small enough to provide custom, hands-on service to their clients like a community bank should. Call Heath Albritton today at 615-347-0578. That number again is 615-347-0578 for Heath Albritton, or visit him online at therenaissancebank.com. Heath Albritton, NMLS number 1964-53, member FDIC, equal housing lender. All loans are subject to the underwriting credit approval. Bank NMLS number 402-669. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome into segment number two of Locked On Vols here on Wednesday's show. Josh Ward in segment one. Pro Football Focus, offensive and defensive grades coming up in segments two and three. Before we get into that, guys, I do want to make one note. The schedule for the 2022 SEC slate has been announced for every single team. That was announced late last night. Tennessee, one big shakeup for the 2022 season. Instead of playing Army on September the 17th, Tennessee is going to play Akron instead. That game was set up by Dave Hart way back in the day. Philip Fulmer and Jeremy Pruitt both tried to get out of it athletic director right now, Danny White, got out of it. Tennessee was set to pay the Golden Knights $1.4 million to travel to Neyland Stadium. They're going to pay Army $500,000 not to play them, and instead of the $1.4 million, and now they're going to pay Akron $1 million to travel to Neyland Stadium, creating a net loss of $100,000 to not play Army. I think it's a good move for Tennessee. No, this does not mean I hate the troops. No, this does not mean I'm anti-American. Playing a service academy does nothing for you. It's a chance to get upset, number one. Yeah, I would love to see the money go to those service academies. Don't get me wrong. But in terms from a football perspective, it's a chance to get upset, number one, because they run the funky option offenses you never, ever see. But in defending that, you'll never see that again. So you're not working on anything that's going to benefit you the rest of the way. So I just want to share that note. Also, Tennessee draws LSU and Alabama from the West. The schedule looks like it's on 9-3, which is September the 3rd. Tennessee opens up against Ball State. The open date is October the 1st after Florida. And again, it goes Ball State at Pittsburgh, Akron, Florida, open at LSU, Alabama, UT Martin, Kentucky, at Georgia, Missouri, at South Carolina, and at Vanderbilt to round out the season. Again, that is Tennessee's 2022 football season. Let's go ahead and get to our Pro Football Focus grades. Remember, guys, take it with a grain of salt. Pro Football Focus doesn't know the blocking assignments, doesn't know the responsibilities, the key responsibilities on the defensive end or the interior linebacker on certain plays and personnel packages. They don't know that. So take it with a grain of salt, but you guys say you continuously want them. I'm going to bring it back to this podcast, Pro Football Focus grades. Below 50 on the grading scale is a backup. 50 to 59 is below average starter. 60 to 69 is an average starter. 70 to 79 is above average starter. 80 to 89 is very good. And 90 to 99 is considered elite. Leading Tennessee on offense was Jeremiah Crawford, the left tackle. So that was good to see. I mean, I've mentioned that Jeremiah Crawford is a guy that I believe Tennessee wants to play. And again, it was against Tennessee Tech, lesser opponents, but in 26 plays, he significantly graded out higher than anybody else on offense, 88%. He had 14 pass-blocking reps. He had 12 run-blocking reps. He was an 80 in pass-blocking. He was an 87 in run-blocking. So Jeremiah Crawford led the way for Tennessee. That's a good sign, especially if you want to flip him to right tackle, maybe slide Cade Mays into guard, maybe down the road, so we'll have to see. Jimmy Calloway had the second highest grade at 77.6. He had a 60 at run blocking, 72 in route running there. Hunter Salmon, the tight end, he had 11 total plays. He graded out at 74.7. Darnell Wright, your starting left tackle, graded out at 73.4, which is, again, above average starter. He was 67.6 in pass blocking. He was 72.2 in run blocking. Hendon Hooker came in at 71.8. Hendon Hooker missed on a deep ball, but overall pretty sharp there. Said in passing, he was 70.2, and running, he was 64.3. Hendon Hooker, a 71.8. Valus Jones Jr., a 70.7. Cade Mays, a 70.1. And then you had some other starters. Jacob Warren, a 64.9. Where Jacob Warren really struggled was pass blocking. According to Pro Football Focus, Jacob Warren had a 3.2 in pass blocking. Again, that's when he was not running routes. 3.2. Well, that is not getting it done, is it? 64.9 overall, 73.4 in pass running his routes overall, a 59.5 in run blocking. So not great, not a great game from Jacob Warren. He did score a touchdown, and he grades out in the average starter category. Other starters, Walker Merrill, a 64.3, played 40 snaps as a true freshman. Looked pretty good there. You have Javonta Spraggins, who graded out at a 60.8. Again, pass blocking is his bugaboo so far this year. 24.4 for Javonta Spraggins in pass blocking. He had 29 pass blocking reps, and he graded out at a 24.4 in that regard. 65.8 in run blocking, 60.8 overall for Javonta Spraggins. Tyon Evans looks to be your lowest graded offensive starter. Just kidding. No, he's not. We'll get to those in a moment. He graded out at a 59.9. Okay, in pass blocking, he was at 75.8, which is really, really good. Again, Tyon Evans is thought to be Tennessee's best pass blocker. 35 reps, he ran the ball at a 59.0 clip, according to the grade they're giving Tyon Evans. Now we continue to move on to some other offensive starters. Jerome Carvin, 55.9, not great. 31.4 in pass blocking, that is not getting it done. Kingston Harris, a 52.0. He only had 39 reps only, that's a lot. Of course, he left with injury. And again, just not solid overall across the board, only coming in at 52.0. Cedric Tillman, 51.3 is what he graded out. He was Tennessee's lowest graded offensive starter in that ball game. So, you know, that's Tennessee's starters. Again, I think the big thing to point out here is that Jeremiah Crawford was at an 88 grade, and I think that's very impressive. Really good in run blocking at 87.5. Hendon Hooker was an above-average starter. And then you had Harrison Bailey. Harrison Bailey came in at 69.3, and that's just at the very tip-top of average starter. So Harrison Bailey in 21 reps, he graded out at a 69.3. Does this mean everything? No, it does not. But again, I think it is reflective on exactly kind of what's going on and how Tennessee does in terms of who struggles with what. Like, I can look at this right now. I can tell you that Jalen Wright struggles in pass blocking. 30.4 was his grade for pass blocking, 68.9 overall. And again, if they're color coordinated, so it's really easy for me to see. Look for the red, and that's where they struggle. So that is Tennessee's offensive grades, Pro Football Focus. What can we take from these and put it towards Florida for? We will find out as the week goes on. In segment three, we'll take a look at defense, a lot of players played, who did what, all that and more. That's coming up here in just a moment. But first, let me remind you guys about Built Bars. Coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. There's one for everyone. Do you know what your favorite flavor is? That's fantastic. If not, order a mix box where you'll get two of each of the nine flavors. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy as well. Most of these flavors have 17 grams of proteins, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams of net carbs. A couple of these flavors have up to 18 grams of proteins, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. All 9 amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Great for the health conscious guy or gal if you're looking to lose or maintain weight. Go to BuiltBar.com right now, use the promo code LOCK15, and there you're going to get 15% off your first order. That's LOCK15 for 15% off your first order. That's all at BuiltBar.com. And we had to do it now, guys. Prize Picks. Have you heard about Prize Picks? It's your daily fantasy made easier. I love it, and I hope you will as well. I think you guys will as well. Prize Picks is the leader in the college sports daily fantasy. It offers more college football props than anyone in the world and offers all-star players at the Power 5 level as well as the mid-majors. Prize Picks offers any pro or any prop you can possibly think of, the yardage, the touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. You pick 2 to 5 players, take the over, the under, or the projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries, so you can go NBA and NFL. You can go college football and NBA, whatever the case may be. Use the award-winning app to do all that and more, both at the App Store and at Google Play. Entries can be made up to 60 seconds or less. It's that quick, it's that easy, and Prize Picks is safe and offers extremely fast withdrawals. So don't hesitate. Check out PrizePicks.com or go to the App Store and download the app today. That's Prize Picks. It's your daily fantasy made easy. All right, we got a final segment here of a Wednesday Locked On Vols. Guys, appreciate you joining me here today. Can't thank you enough, and really looking forward to previewing Tennessee and Florida as the week goes on. We get you set up for game day on Saturday. Hey, that's what we're going to do all day tomorrow. You're hearing it here now. Locked On Gators host Brandon Olson. We're going to do a crossover edition of Locked On Vols and Locked On Gators. We're going to do the episode together. He'll lead some. I'll lead some. We're talking Gators. We're talking Vols. Some of the biggest storylines and matchups. That's coming up on tomorrow's show. It is a crossover edition of Locked On Vols and Locked On Gators on Thursday. And I have it scheduled right now to where we're going to have a Tennessee football commit, Addison Nichols, on the show on Friday. So, again, it's scheduled now. Things can change. Things often do in recruiting, trust me. But hopefully I'll bring you a short conversation with Addison Nichols for Friday's show as we continue to break down Tennessee and preview Tennessee and Florida. But all that's coming up later in the week. Right now, let's get into the Pro Football Focus grades for Tennessee's defense. Again, guys, a grain of salt. Solon Page, 14 snaps, 97.1. Guys, that is almost perfect. Okay, I think that grade is extremely hyperbole. Did he have a good game? Yeah, he had a good game. Did he have a pick six? Sure. Was it Tennessee Tech? Of course. But 97.1, that is almost perfect. And I'm sorry, Solon Page did not play an almost perfect game. No one did, right? No one did. But 97.1, good for him, though. I mean, that's solid. You know, Tennessee Tech is not going to be Florida this week, and I'm not trying to take anything away from him. Again, a pick six is a pick six. But he got a lot of points for that. But 97.1 for Solon Page. He was 96.2 in coverage. He was 57.6 in pass rush, 76 even in tackling, 67.1 in rush defense. So 97.1 from Solon Page. He led the way. Job well done there. Before we get into our starters, I want to mention again Solon Page and then Aubrey Solomon. Aubrey Solomon, 11 total reps, 89.6 was his grade. He was really sharp against run, 89.4. I mean, Aubrey Solomon just dominated the offensive lineman in front of him, I'm sure. 89.4 against the run, 76.2 tackling, 57.2 pass rush. That's where he struggles. But Aubrey Solomon, who Rodney Garner was singing the praises of him in media on Tuesday, saying that he's proud of him, saying that Aubrey Solomon was on scout team at one point in time. Man, could you picture yourself 2 years ago, two and a half years ago, when we were making such a ruckus about getting Aubrey Solomon here from Michigan, about getting him eligible to play, and he was on scout team a couple weeks ago? Boy, that how the mighty have fallen, right? But to his credit, and this is what Rodney Garner said, he said, hey, I put him on scout team. He had a great smile on his face. He had a great attitude. He's worked, and I'm so proud of him for how he played the other day. Reps are earned, not given. We'll see if Aubrey Solomon has broke back into the defensive line rotation. We will have to see. Let's get into the starters real quick. Alante Taylor led all starters, an 84.9 grade. Again, that is very good, according to Pro Football Focus. No, literally, that's the grading scale of very good. 84.9. He was 65.7 against the run, 77 tackling, 60 in pass rush. But, I mean, there's not many. Let's see, he had one rep in pass rush, right? And then 74.3 in coverage skills. So a good game from Alante Taylor. Oh, I know we're not starters, but William Mohan, I made a tweet saying, or a board post or something saying, William Mohan, of course, one of the transfers over throughout the offseason, said he doesn't have a clue what he's doing, but he's going full speed. Hey, he graded out at 84. He had the 4th highest grade on defense, and he played 13 snaps. So good for him. Good performance there from Apache Mohan. Jalen McCullough, the 5th highest defensive grader for Tennessee at the strong safety position. Of course, he had an interception. 75.8 was his grade. He was really strong in tackling at 80.2. He was really strong in coverage skills, 70.8. Again, or 78.8. That was Jalen McCullough, a 78.5 overall grade. Byron Young, not a starter technically, but he had 17 reps. He graded out at 78.1. His pass rush, only 56.5. And, you know, that's not great. Remember, Tennessee needs a pass rush. Tennessee needs Byron Young. He did not do well in the pass rushing category per Pro Football Focus, grading out at 56.5. So let's pay attention to that moving down the line. Again, he was great in spring. He was great in fall camp. You know, the offensive linemen said he was whipping their tails. So, you know, let's see how Byron Young does against Florida's offensive line, where Tennessee's going to need a pass rush. Theo Jackson graded out at a 73.7. Man, Theo's having just a hell of a start to his career, or to his super senior year. Theo was 78 even in tackling, 74.8 in pass rush. He had, let's see here, he had no reps in pass rush, so I guess that's an anomaly. 69.1 nice in coverage skills, 69.9 in rush defense. So Theo Jackson, a pretty solid day at 73.7. Elijah Simmons, 19 reps, 72.3. Pass rush, not great, 54.6. Again, that's been a hindrance for him because he's a bigger guy, is being able to get that motor going and get back in the backfield and you know, not just be a run stopper, which he was great at, 78.1 on Saturday, but being a pass rusher as well, only graded out at 54.6 in 15 reps of pass rush for Elijah Simmons. So Warren Burrell, 71.9 for Warren Burrell. The next starter, Tyler Barron, a 67.9. 57.1 tackling for Tyler Barron. 61.4 pass rush. So, you know, not the best day for Tyler Barron, but certainly not bad. Trayvon Flowers, 67.8 was his grade. He had a really good game tackling. 78.4 is where he graded. Coverage skills, a 64.2. Again, that's not hard against Tennessee Tech. But that was Trayvon Flowers. Jaquan Blakely, he had 19 total reps, graded out of 66.7. And the red flag for Jaquan Blakely against Tennessee Tech, tackling 29.1 is where he graded out. Not great there. So 29.1. Let's see here. He had one missed assignment or one missed tackle is what it said. But again, he got a grade of 29.1. Jeremy Banks, 65.7. 67.3 was his grade against run defense. 56.3 was his pass rush. 63.8 was his coverage skills. See, he says Jeremy Banks, he had 12 reps against the run, 3 reps in the pass rush, 18 reps in coverage. And Pro Football Focus does not credit him with a tackle whatsoever. But, you know, just it is what it is. I've told you guys about how against inferior opponents, a lot of the tackles that would come your way just don't make it to you because, again, it's an inferior opponent. Let's continue to go down. He's not a starter, but Roman Harrison, I've told you about the lack of bend off the edge, and he's just not giving you enough in terms of pass rush. Well, he had a 56 pass rush, 43 overall in tackling for Roman Harrison. Not the best day for him. Matthew Butler, off and running to start the season. He graded out at a 58.3 overall against Tennessee Tech. Not great of a tackling day. 23.1 is where he graded out in terms of tackling. Pro Football Focus did not give him a tackle, did give him one hurry. One more starter, Aaron Beasley. 29 reps. He graded out at 54.9, so not the greatest day for Aaron Beasley. We'll continue on, and that was it for the starters for Tennessee. So, again, take it with a grain of salt. A lot of players. It's hard to take anything away from Tennessee Tech, right? I mean, you got turnovers, so good. Good. You got turnovers. That's the biggest takeaway. Created turnovers, and then you allowed the offense to score off those turnovers. But those were the Pro Football Focus grades for Tennessee against Tennessee Tech. Again, guys, if you like these, if you'd like to learn a little bit more about how to go about these Pro Football Focus grades, I try to read you off what the starters are, but I also try to kind of find some areas of where they really excelled at or really did not excel at in that football game and talk about it moving forward. So hope you guys enjoyed it. That's going to do it for our Wednesday show. Big thanks to Josh Ward for stopping by for Word Wednesday. We did that Pro Football Focus and scheduling news in segment 2 of the offensive end for Pro Football Focus and then PFF defensive grades here in segment number 3. Don't forget Brandon Olson and myself. We will do a crossover episode for Locked On Vols / Locked On Gators. We'll preview that matchup. That's coming up tomorrow. As of right now, we'll have a brief conversation with Tennessee commit Addison Nichols on Friday, as well as preview the rest of that game on Friday. That's the lay of the land for the rest of the week. We're done with Locked On Vols here on a Wednesday, guys, but don't forget Locked On Bets, your boy Q, Lee Sterling, betonline.ag. You can find Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcast. Guys, I enjoyed it. Thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, everybody.